We are going to chase our theme here, and our theme for this coming week is the idea that Jesus cares for our lives. And we started that here this morning in the book of John, reminding ourselves there of Jesus looking after Lazarus. And we're going to continue that theme here for this morning and also throughout our week here. So we invite you to use your study guides. Listen, if you don't have a Fusion guide, if you're an adult, we'd love to put one of those in your hands. If you hear me saying a theme and you're not sure what we're talking about, that's what I'm talking about. Our morning Bible studies have a little devotional guide that go with them. And what we introduce on a Sunday have devotions Monday through Friday that follow that same theme. And then you'll study next Saturday for next Sunday's theme. And typically we try to follow that all throughout each of our, all of our services. And so we'd like to put one of those in your hands if you don't have one. So for today it is thinking about God's care. And does God look after us? Does God have any interest in us whatsoever? So Psalm 55 is where we're going to be. And if you'd like to turn there, you can. It'll be in your bulletin as well, not the whole text, but from 16 to 23 will be in your bulletin. It's on the wall. And if you have a Bible, I promise you it's in there, all right? Even if you just have a New Testament, most of those have New Testament and Psalms, so Psalm 55 would be in there. If you don't have a Bible, they're looking a pew, there may be one there, and you're welcome to take that one. And if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get one for you if you'd let us know to put in your hands that you can mark up in there and treat it as your own. So typically here we like to talk before we get going, interact. And so I want you to interact with me here around this thought here today, thinking about God, are you there? So has there ever been a moment in your life where you asked somebody the question, are you there? Ma'am? Asking somebody, all right? So when I think of this, I think about a child asking for a parent, maybe at nighttime. You parents or grandparents, you have to deal with that sometimes. And they'll call out your name. And often they don't necessarily need you to come into the room, right? They're not looking for a hug. They just need to hear your voice. And that voice is enough just to reassure them, okay, they're still right there. Even though I'm in my room, I'm a little bit afraid. It's okay because my parents are there listening. What about, have you ever been on a phone call with somebody and you talk for 2 or 3 minutes and it sounds like it's dead on the other end? You know, nobody's ever talking back to you or things like that. Now, when I was dating my wife in college, that was when I was sleeping. And she'd say, wake up. Oh, okay. All right. But now it's not so much that way. It's not about somebody falling asleep. Sometimes we just drop a call, right? And so you're talking. Are you there? You know, and you push buttons. Hello, are you there? Right? When you can hear that voice come back and say, yeah, I'm here, I'm listening, that's just reassuring. Like, okay, there's some comfort here, so we can continue with our conversation as we've been going here. So those are a couple common ways, and there's all sorts of them where we ask, are you there? But what we're getting at today is God. God, are you there? So have you ever asked that question? Have you ever called out to God in prayer that way, or have you ever wondered to yourself, when you think about what you're currently dealing with, God, are you here? Or God, where are you? Sometimes we call out to God when we are struggling or when we're afraid or when we're worried and we want to hear, we want to know that God is right there with us. And so today we're going to try to answer this question, God, are you there? And we're going to do this with the life of David, King David. Okay, and so Psalm 55 is where we're going to be. And let's introduce it here before we actually get into the text. When you read Psalm 55, kind of the background that's going on, you can read this later, is found in 2 Samuel 14, 15, 16. You'll find King David's son, Absalom, is looking to overthrow him as king. And so how did it work back in that day? If you wanted to be king, what had to happen to the previous king? He had to die. And so Absalom is looking to kill or have his father killed so then he can be this new king. And so he's been setting people up for years. As people would come to the city to see the king, Absalom would meet them there at the gate, and he would say, oh, if I was your king, I would care for you, and I would look into your interest. I'm sorry, there's no one here to care for you. And so this love grew for Absalom. And so Absalom goes to another city, and he takes hundreds with him who are going to plan to overthrow King David as they announce Absalom, their new king. And so King David is afraid. And one of the reasons he's afraid is because his good friend Ahithophel has went with Absalom. And so now those who were close to him, those he had fellowshiped with, those he had worshiped with, are turning against him also, are going to follow his son. And we find David here in a situation where he is scared. So let's go to Psalm 55. want to look at his response to this situation. All right, Psalm 55, we're going to go verse 16 through 23. And so with that as your background, the son after him, his best friend has departed from him. He says, as for me, here's what I'll do. I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I'll pray and I'll cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He's redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old. Because they do not change, they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. And so the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, and yet they were drawn swords. So cast your burden on the Lord, and he'll sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. But I will trust in you. And so a few things we'll note as we progress through this message today as it relates to understanding that God is there. And we're going to do this again from the perspective or vantage point from David. All right, so if you'd like to follow along in your bulletin, you can. You don't have to at all, but that's just there for our convenience this morning. So number one is this: God is there, and we know he's there because David tells us we can cast our cares on him. And so number one here, God is there for us to cast our cares upon in prayer. God is there to cast our cares upon in prayer. And so as we get into this psalm, we see David's really struggling here. We didn't read the previous 15 verses, but if you'll look back through those, you'll see kind of the agony that he's in. And let's highlight a few things that he says. He says he was distraught because of his enemy. He was distraught because of his enemy and all the things that he was saying about him, all the threats that were being made. He said in his heart that he had anguish and that he had fear, that he was scared for his life. He was trembling within. He goes on to say that I am overwhelmed by horror. Overwhelmed by horror. Okay? And so we're starting to get a glimpse of the inner struggle here within David as he's considering the situation that he is in. He's going to go on to say that he wished that he could fly away like a bird. And if he could, he'd go to a real deserted place where he could find rest. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Have you ever been in that kind of situation where you wanted to flee? If I could just get out of here and go somewhere and be by myself, I would be so much better off. I can't deal with this. I don't know the answer. I'm overwhelmed. I'm scared to death. I just want to go someplace where I can find rest. Have you ever been envious of a bird? You know, sitting 20 or 25 feet up in a tree, I often get to look at a little bird sitting on a limb because that's the only thing I see, a bird and a random squirrel. And I'll sit there and look at that bird, and there's often times where I'm envious of that bird because that bird acts like it has no cares in the world. I mean, it doesn't. The bird doesn't have to work to try to produce food. It doesn't have any pressure on it or deadlines to meet. There's no expectations of that bird. I mean, it's cool that it can fly, but it just seems to be free. And so I understand what David's feeling here. I didn't have a son or a child who's looking to kill me, but I do understand that the concept of wanting to fly away just to be carefree or to be released like a bird. Now, this is David, okay? So when we think of David, we typically think of David as a coward or as a strong man. A strong man. And so this kind of strikes us a little bit odd here. Usually David is brave, he's courageous, he's ready to go to battle. You know, he'll face a giant. He's not afraid of anybody. The power of the Lord is with him, is on him. Let's go, okay? He's kind of the buddy you want in your corner. And yet we find this guy here, he's terrified. Horror has overwhelmed me, he says. I am anguished of heart. My son is against me. You know, this is the David that said, bring it. What can man do to me? I will not fear man. What can he do to me? And this is the same David here who is crying out in fear, casting his cares upon God. And so let's look here back at verse 16 and 17. It's important to outline here what David did. What David did, because all of us have said or we've acknowledged we'd like to fly away often like a bird. What do we do? Well, here's what David said. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Verse 17, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. And so David's going to cry out to God here in prayer, and he's going to turn to the Lord here, and he's going to plead. And so he's reminding himself, and he's also then reminding you and I today of some things we need to remember. And here's the truth of the matter. God is there wherever there is. God is there wherever there is. And so when you cry out in prayer, God, are you here? God, are you there? His response is what? I'm here. Now, you may not hear that audible voice like a parent to a child, room to room. But the truth of the Word of God is that He is right there. And He's listening. And He cares. And ultimately here, David says, I know He will answer me. And so I plead to God, or I cry out to God, and He will save me. Now, does God always answer immediately? We say no and we say yes. I say yes. Sometimes God's answer is silence. Sometimes God's answer is no. Sometimes God's answer is wait. Okay? And sometimes God's answer is go. And so here we're going to find David sitting in a waiting pattern. Because he didn't just pray once and all of a sudden courage fell. He didn't just pray once and all of a sudden he was at rest. Remember what we read? He said, I prayed in the evening, and then I prayed again in the morning, and then I prayed again noon. You ever been there? Overwhelmed, afraid, I don't know what to do, and I pray to God, and it's like I get up off my knees, I walk away from that prayer time just as burdened as I started. And so I go back again, and it's the next day, and I go back a little bit later within that day, and I pray until I find that I'm reminded that God's listening, that God will save, that God is answering. Though I may not hear it or see it the way that I want to at this point, He's there, and He's right there. He's ready, He's willing, He's moving, He's active within that prayer. And so David pleads from distress. He cries out in the nighttime because he is anguished, waiting for God to answer. And so it's not just a one and done. So he says to us here, we need to be persevering in prayer. And so don't quit. For me, it's pray till I get rest or pray till I get peace. And so I just keep praying. And maybe I get up from my knees because I have to go to work. And so I'm driving. I'm still praying. Maybe I'm sitting in my office or I'm teaching. I'm still praying. I'm just looking for that rest or that assurance or that confidence or that reminder that He's right here, that He's listening, that He's active, that He is at work. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just pray once and all of a sudden there was clarity? Wouldn't that be nice? You just pray, Lord, give me wisdom, and boom, the answer is clear. Oh, there we go. Right? Often it takes time. That's not because God is not answering. He's in the process of answering. He's just working on His schedule. And so oftentimes God will allow you and He'll allow me to struggle through a situation just to learn to depend on Him, just like David's learning here. And so we're going to cast our care on Him. We're going to depend on Him even in the midst of the situation we're in because we know that He is there. And so whatever your situation may currently be or whatever comes upon us here in the next few days, we just need to remind ourselves of what's going on here with David. All right, I can be afraid or I can trust in God. I can have this distress in my heart or I can pray it out until I get at rest. I don't need to fly away from my situation. I need to stay here and just hang on to God through this situation. Maybe God removes me, or maybe God removes the situation, or maybe God just says, I'm right here, and we go through this thing together. Ultimately, here, the picture is to cast your care. Take your burden, whatever it is, as that old song says, and leave it there. So pray to give your burden to God, and then keep praying until you find rest or relief from that burden, because God's there, and He cares. All right, let's progress here. God is there, and He's there for us to cast our cares on. He's there to help us to give confidence, but He's also here to sustain us, secondly, through the struggles that we'll encounter in this life. And so God is there to sustain us through the struggles of this life. So David's going to continue to pray here, trusting that God is listening, trusting that God is there, trusting that God's going to save. He's going to pray evening. He's going to pray morning. He's going to pray noon. And he's going to pray knowing what we just talked through. God may not remove this situation from me. My son Absalom may actually come take my life. Or God may make it where Absalom, where that won't happen. But whatever happens is not what I'm praying about. What I'm praying for is this current situation for me to be at peace, and to trust that God is at hand or is God is at work in this situation. And so he's asking God once again to supply or to save through this, through his struggle here. Verse 22, let's go back there this morning. We're going to see God sustains with grace as we struggle. Verse 22 again says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will, what's that word? He will sustain you. And so God is in the business of equipping, God's in the business of strengthening you and I in the midst of that situation rather than taking us out of the situation. Typically, I pray, Lord, remove the situation. Don't you? Lord, take away the sickness in the person. Lord, take away or change the heart in this person. Lord, grant me a new job that I, you know, because I've lost my job. Or God, meet this need in my life. We're looking for God to resolve something quickly. And often what God's doing is just going to walk with us through that situation. And we're going to see him do that right here with David as well. You know, but this also reminds me of a guy in the New Testament named Paul. You ever plead with God? I mean, just like broken heart and pleading, crying out to God, like, you've got to change, you've got to work, you've got to fix, I'm so distressed, I don't know what to do, where are you, God? Paul was that way. You remember when Paul was given a messenger of Satan to torment him? Remember that? So Paul wouldn't be proud and boast in how many people have been coming to Christ and how the gospel's flourished under him, and so he wouldn't boast about how great he is. The Bible says he was given a minister of Satan to torment him. It was called a thorn in his side. And three times, the Bible says, Paul's going to plead with God to remove this. And so here again, we see the picture of persistence in prayer. It's not one and done and I get relief, or one and done and I get clarity. He's praying it out. He's praying it through, asking for relief. And God's response, you know it well, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So was Paul delivered from his situation? No, Paul was sustained through that situation. And that was going to go with him until the remainder of his life. And so whatever it was, however it worked against him, Paul knew that he could leave it with God and that God would sustain him. Whether or not he removed it was totally God's call. Now, you and I may never have a child who seeks to take our life like David did. And you and I may never be tormented the way that Paul was tormented here. But the truth is, we're going to be in situations where we're distressed, where we're overwhelmed, where we are afraid or worried, or where we are horrified. We just don't know how to deal, where we want to just, you know, get in that fetal position or fly away like that bird. How are we going to respond? What do we do in times like this? We've already seen, number one, we're going to pray about it, and we're going to keep praying about it until we get relief or remind ourselves that God's in control, and then we're going to wait and be strengthened by the Lord. And so I'm going to be in his word, and I'm going to remind myself of the truths of God, the promises of God, and his spirit will sustain me. Do you think there's something in this life that God cannot give you the strength to endure? And we talked about this a little bit last week. Oh, I could never go through that. Yeah, I don't know how they're doing. I could never go through, you know, the loss of a spouse. Or I could never go through having a child die. Or I could never do that. And the truth is, on your own, you're right. You couldn't. But there's nothing on this planet that we cannot face empowered by the Spirit of God. And so from David, we learned the lesson. From Paul, we learned the lesson. Though we may struggle through it, there is this sustenance of God that will minister to our hearts and strengthen and equip us to either endure the situation, to be removed from the situation, but ultimately to trust God with that situation. And so I'm looking to get rid of my care by casting it on him in prayer. I'm looking for God to sustain me, right? To be the one who provides my strength and energy as I endure through my struggle. And then third here this morning, as we go through struggles here, as we wonder if God is there, looking at the story of David, we're going to ask God to protect us from being overwhelmed. God is there to protect us from being overwhelmed. And let's make sense of this here a little bit this morning. Have you ever been overwhelmed? All right, so does that mean you weren't a Christian at that point? Is that what I'm saying? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. So what are we talking about here? Because didn't we just say previously that David was overwhelmed? So had David been permanently or temporarily removed from God's presence where he was no longer under God's favor or protection? No, that's not what we're saying at all. So if God is there to protect us from being overwhelmed, what happened to David? If you go back and you look at verse 5, this isn't on the wall, but it's in your Bible. If you look there, you'll see that he was horrified to the point of being overwhelmed. Right? So his fear, that word there being overwhelmed, is to be covered over. It's kind of where a cloud comes in and all you see is just darkness. And so that's not the proper view, that's not the right view, that's just his context. All he can really see at this point is just darkness and fear, and he's just being consumed by his situation. And so this picture here is one of having a heavy heart. The horror of being overwhelmed is having a heavy heart. And if you've ever been there, you understand that as well. You could say that was a horrific situation, or I felt overwhelmed. So this isn't the same thing that we're talking about here. So what does it mean to be protected from being overwhelmed? The context of that verse is in verse 22 where he talks about, I'll never be shaken. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. You say, no, wait a minute. I've been shaken before. Have you been shaken? You know, we're going to leave here in just a short while. If you head down Horseshoe Lake Road and your light's green as you go through 111 and somebody's come flying through and you have to slam on your brakes, you're probably going to say, man, I was shook up. You may pull off the side of the road and just try to get yourself back together. You may sit there and pray and thank God they spared your life. So what's it mean? Cast your cares on the Lord, he will sustain you. He'll never let the righteous be shaken. When we say we're being shaken, what's it mean when I say that he won't allow us to be overwhelmed or he'll protect us from that? When David says he was overwhelmed, the idea here of being shaken, it's the, in your translation may have the word moved. It's the place where we're so darkened and overwhelmed by our situation that we are removed permanently from under the favor or protection or blessing of God. So God will allow us to be shaken. God will allow us to be overwhelmed, but not to the point where we are no longer his. The righteous, that is. Those who are casting their cares on him. Those who are trusting in the Lord. See, the idea that you just pray and everything goes your way is not true. The idea that I'll follow Jesus and I become wealthy, physically have more money than I know what to do with, is not true. The idea that I'll follow Jesus and I'll never get sick physically sounds fantastic. It's just not true. The scriptures tell us we will experience troubles. However, I've overcome them. I will not let you be shaken. That's the context. They will not win. They do not rule. They do not remove. They will exist and they are real. However, I will protect you through them. It's the Word of God that tells us he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And when we're there, what does he do? He provides a way out. Right? That's our God. And so he's looking after us. He won't allow us to be shaken to the point of being permanently removed. And so for me, to put this in a context, I think of a word picture. I think of a fruit tree. And so I want you to think about a fruit tree that's bearing beautiful fruit, and it's in the midst of a summertime thunderstorm. And the wind is howling. It's just knocking the fruit all off the tree. Anybody have fruit trees? We have fruit trees growing up, pears and apples and peaches and cherry tree. And so we're used to going out and picking up fruit off the ground after a big storm comes through, right? So we're not like that fruit. What happened to the fruit in the storm? It became disconnected. That's right. It fell off the tree. It was no longer protected by the life of that tree. We're more like the branch. That's what Jesus said. He's the vine, we're the branches. So that when we face storms, we're going to endure that storm. He's going to protect us so that we are not permanently removed. All right? Where there is life, where there is the righteous pursuit of God, casting our care on him, trusting all things to him, his response is, I'll sustain you and I'll protect you. I will not let you be shaken. So shouldn't that give you some confidence? When you think about a child, and we've talked through this here recently as well, who's going to jump off the front porch and their parents are going to catch them. Now here today we're going to let the parents actually catch them. And when that parent catches them in that child's mind, that's starting to build some confidence, like, hey, I'll do that again. And then you get to that, and you guys are getting there with that little kid's going to say, again, 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 pick me up again, throw me again, spin me again, do it again. And it's just like, go to sleep again. Go play with your brother or sister again. You know, it's, they're just like that because we've earned their trust. And so David had known that God would be faithful. And so even though he was shaken initially, overwhelmed by fear, kind of dark cloud, he was reminding himself that God was there to sustain and protect him. So even though Absalom's against you, looking to take your life, going to overthrow your kingdom, even though your best friend has deserted you or one of your good friends to go with Absalom, I will protect you. This does not remove you from out from under my care. So yeah, we're going to face stuff, and yeah, it's going to stink, and yeah, we'd wish for something different. And yet David reminds us today that God is there. He's there to protect. He's there to cast our cares on. He's there for our sustenance or to be sustained. David also writes about this in Psalm 37. Let's go there. Psalm 37, verse 23, it reads, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him." I'll stop there for a minute. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Okay, so if you think of firm foundation or firm footing, do you think that you'll ever fall? No. Okay, so typically we don't think it. We think that it's just smooth, it's steady, it's just solid. There's nothing that can happen to me. So the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him, verse 23. Then verse 24 says, though he may what? All right, though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So we've got to get our mind around the truth of the matter that hardships, and you know this, suffering is reality. It doesn't mean God has walked out. It's not that God has vacated the building. It's not that the Spirit has vacated this temple. It's reality of living on this sin-cursed planet. But the same reality is that though we may stumble, God will not allow us to fall. He'll make our pathway firm. That is, once again, we're not going to be moved to the point of being removed permanently out from under his protection. So where is God when we're overwhelmed? Where is God when your suffering is so great you just can't even put it into words? Where is God when we're so afraid we just don't know what to do? Where's God when we say, I want to be like that bird and just get out of my life? I need a vacation from me. God, are you there? David responds by saying, yes, he is. God is right here. And so you pray, and you just pray, and you pray, and you pray, knowing that he's listening, knowing that he'll answer in his time. Until then, you just trust, you wait. Give that burden to God, and you keep giving it to God until it earns or has his name on it and not yours anymore. And if you're anything like me, I try to throw it up to God sometimes, and it just comes right back down into my hands. You ever been there? God, here's my burden. Take it. It's like, oh, no, let me take that back for a minute. I think I've got a solution here. No, God, that didn't. Here you go, God. And God, no, I'm just so overwhelmed. What am I going to do? I just can't. I'm making a mess of it. Here you go. And it's, sometimes we just got to keep throwing it back to God until we find that it's in his hands. It's his. It's no longer mine. Pray, cast your burden on the Lord until you find that rest. Remind yourself that he is there to sustain you through it, even though he may not remove it. And then live out under the protection of God. Yeah, this may be hard, and this may not be the way that we've planned our life. However, he will not allow us to be shaken. He will not allow us to be overwhelmed to the point where we're like the fruit that drops off the tree, completely disconnected. So is God there? Yes, he is. So cast your care upon him. Is God there? Yes, he is. So sit there and live under and wait for that sustaining power of God. Is God there? Yes, he is. And so trust him. Live out underneath that protection of God. And so don't walk forward in fear or lacking courage. We walk forward with boldness, strength, as we wait on, as we're equipped by the Spirit of God to endure whatever struggle or situation we're faced with. And so what I wondered today is this, as we begin to close, Maybe in your life you've been asking a question, or maybe you didn't ask the question, but you're dealing with that situation. God, I really don't feel like you're here. I mean, how can you be in this? Look how rough this is, and you're telling me you're here. I'm telling you I'm here. Maybe this morning for you it is just that literal put it in your hands and give it to God. Maybe for you today it's a care that you need to cast His direction. If that's you, I want to encourage you to follow David's example. Maybe you're facing something and you just don't feel like you can endure it. Remind yourself of David here. David was sustained. David was protected by the same God that will sustain and protect you and I today. So God, are you there? His response is, I'm here. I'm here. You trust me here this morning.